The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. We had a heck of a weekend. Not as good a weekend as Rising FC, but we had a heck of a weekend. We did some cool stuff. Rick Shantz is going to be with us, the head coach of Rising FC. He is the interim head coach in title. This is going to be really interesting to see what happens with Rick moving forward. It's a great situation to be in because, Rick's story is one that you just can't really script. And I want to do a deep dive with him on this. So Rick will join us coming up at 10:20. How do you go from interim to back as an assistant to interim to coaching one of the greatest players in the history of soccer, Didier Drogba, to getting to a champ game this Thursday night? That's a great story. Arizona State's a great story. Like, we're sitting here right now in Arizona with two programs that are looking like they're figuring it out. So the U of A game on Friday night against Colorado was nothing pretty to watch, in my opinion, but they got better and better. Arizona's getting better. Arizona State on Saturday at home against Utah, five people that saw it on the Pac-12 network, was terrific football. It just was to see them in this spot. Like, the U of A ASU game usually goes like this. Both teams are ready to take on their rivals. And both teams are fighting for the almighty Sun Bowl or the Holiday Bowl or whatever the San Francisco Bowl is or the Vegas Bowl. A bunch of third-tier bowl games. Even my friends in San Diego, the Holiday Bowl is not what it once was. It just isn't. And so the game comes down to, well, our team that's really mediocre at best is better than your team that's really mediocre at best. I'm being true here, guys. Nobody can put this in a pretty light. Someone with Arizona State on Twitter on Saturday when I pointed this out, pointed out to me, well, yeah, you're forgetting the 2014 season. You forgot that. Yeah, that's the problem. It's never good when you can point to, remember that one time? That's the problem. That's it. When you say, look at the game 4 years ago, you forgot about it. No, every year it should be important. You shouldn't have the Pac-12 network say, we got to put ASU U of A on somewhere. Yeah, let's put it on opposite of Auburn, Alabama, because no one will see it. That should never happen. And that's where things were. But things are getting better. I'm very pleased with I'm pleased that I'm getting emails and notes from people saying, who got the better coach, U of A or ASU? Like, that's fun. And you can actually go down the line and look at who hired the better coach. Because some of you today, some of you still wish Todd Graham were coaching ASU. And I would say, are you kidding me?
Well, Herm's winning with Todd's players.
Yeah, I don't know. Last time I checked, it's not 49-48 and you're out of timeouts in the first half with 3 minutes to go in the second quarter and two of them were defensive timeouts. You're not missing on kids that should easily be playing here. Like, I was talking to someone the other night. My Heisman ballot this year is going to go to Tua. My vote will go there the way things stand right now. But I'm looking around and I'm seeing a freshman quarterback at Iowa State that I better start paying attention to, not this year, but in the next couple of years. And you didn't even give him a letter? Come on. It's crazy. So you guys need to move. Some of you just need to move on. I'm feisty today. I'm fired up. Good show. Jody Jackson's going to be with us. Jody and I have been on I don't know what to put. Eric, have you seen that Jody and I have been out socially here in my Facebook the last couple days? Like two times in the last 5 days, Jody and
no.
I have been out.
I don't really go on Facebook, so I don't
it's fine.
See that.
I try to brag up that I even am in her presence.
Okay.
But here's the thing with Jody. So
it's kind of weird, but continue.
I know. Well, the other night we're at the Arizona Sports Hall of Fame. The Arizona Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremony, which was one of the coolest events that I've been at in a long time. Pat Tillman gets inducted, and you're thinking, well, why wasn't he inducted like 15 years ago? Because the Arizona Sports Hall of Fame was basically DOA. So they put in Pat, Eric. Jake shows up. Kevin Tillman shows up. They get on stage together and speak. There are not many dry eyes in the house.
Nice.
I mean, it was.
And I'm assuming you mean Jake Plummer, right?
Yeah, Jake Plummer. Yeah. Mark Grace gets put in. Mark Grace, he makes a joke about, I guess they don't judge who goes in by the rap sheet. You know, he's owning it, right? And his boys are there. And
self-deprecating humor, though, is right in Gracie's wheelhouse.
Yeah, Gracie's
no pun
wheelhouse.
Intended. So
Jody was at this event, and, you know, we take the picture afterwards, and then we're talking. It's like, so what's new with you? Blah, blah, blah. And she ends up, we're at the same event, right here by Skyview, right here by the studio. Like, we could walk to where we were Saturday night. And it's her husband. It's my wife. It's four people that used to work for the Suns. That have very funny stories about used to work for the Suns. And it was for Chrysalis, which is a great event on spousal abuse and child abuse. And just it was an airport hangar that was open up. And in walks Jody, and she's with her husband. And the four of us sit at a table, there's like eight of us. And we just had the best time. She's so cool. And so we got to talk about the Coyotes because they play tonight. And the Coyotes have won five in a row. That never happens. Usually by November, like this time on the calendar, they're writing about the Coyotes either moving, who they're going to take with the number one overall pick, if in fact they're fortunate enough to get the number one overall pick. But they're certainly not writing about how they have a winning record, which they do. So Jody will be on with us later to talk about that and some other things. I got to talk to her about her jewelry deal. So she has this jewelry deal where they just bling her out. And people are coming up to her wanting to know. And like you put a picture of her together with me. And it's like, I don't know. I shouldn't even be in her presence type of thing. It's like the queen. I don't know. So we'll have Jody with us. And we'll talk some stuff with Jody about what's going on around town. What is going on in the world of sports? Brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. You need to do that, guys, with life insurance. There's all sorts of products that Sagicor Now has in the life insurance world. So make sure that you log on, protect what matters most, do it in the privacy of your own home. I got my license because I believe so strongly in what they are doing and helping people. So it's very cool. It's not one of these things where, let me read a script here about if you want to get a car and you pay this. No, that's not what this is about. Sagicor is a really good company, really good company. And they care about you, your family, and yourself and your personal situation. Protect what matters most, Sagicor Now. Log on, Sagicor Now. Maybe I should have read a script there. That's fine. I believe in what they are doing, good people. So ASU, all they have to do is win out at this point. If they beat UCLA, if they beat Oregon, if they beat the U of A, then as far as I can tell, ASU is going to go to the champ game in the Pac-12 South. Arizona, all they have to do, they're on a bye. They have to win at Washington State. That's not going to be easy. And they have to beat ASU, and they could be in a situation. Who would have thought this? They need some help, though. I think, Eric, am I right on this? It's how I figured it out. ASU controls their own destiny from what I can near tell.
They do. As crazy as that sounds.
As crazy as it sounds.
And ASU has the rep for, even when they're on the road playing teams that are much better than them, keeping it close.
Washington game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Colorado game.
Yep. Even though Colorado's kind of turned out to be paper tigers like we all expected. But
That's going to be a coaching change there, I think, because they've completely folded their tent.
I mean, winning at Oregon is not likely.
No.
But it's not – the way ASU's playing, it's certainly not out of the question.
No. Now, see, the thing is – when I'm watching them, and you didn't see the game because it was Pac-12 Network.
I did see, I think the last quarter and a half, I streamed it.
You did
illegally.
You finally went down and did.
No, I did. I streamed it. I found it, and I airplayed it off of my phone. So,
when Eric gets arrested today.
No, they can't. I mean, it's not. I don't know. It's not a me problem. It's whoever put the illegal site up. So.
That's true. But
but it's kind of sad that I have to airstream something off my phone onto my secondary TV to see ASU play. But again, we don't have time to go down that road.
We have some highlights from this game because Jordan was there. And if you want to go ahead and roll those in now, if you want me to wait, but, you know, for Manny, he made one really bad decision, I thought.
And you're a big Manny hater, so I kind of take great pride in seeing him succeed week in and week out because I'm a Manny Wilkins supporter. So
you call me a hater.
You're
you
a
know
hater.
Benjamin's been good. No.
You're a skeptic.
I'm a skeptic. That's better than being a hater. What are you talking about? I'm a hater. That's kind of harsh for a
Monday.
I don't
know. I've drank the Manny Wilkins Kool-Aid for a couple of years. I don't think the guy gets enough credit. And it's nice to see. It's really nice to see him play well.
It's nice to see him play well. Yeah, but he's not going to be here. And I think having anybody to push him would have been good for the program, would have been better for the program. And there
Absolutely.
Probably would have been times where he wouldn't be on the field. Because
but we are living in the present, and ASU has a chance to pay for the Pac-12 South. So honestly, I don't really care about what happens next year. I'm just happy that we have relevant ASU football in early November.
Nikhil should walk out next week with the seniors. Right?
They might. I mean,
they should.
They should. No, honestly,
on,
they should.
They should.
If he says, hey, I'm leaving, which he is,
he's
and should.
Leaving. Guys, he's leaving. Make it his senior day now. Goodbye.
They did that with – who did they do that? I can't remember who, but they did that. Like one of the underclassmen at some other school was leaving, and they honored him on senior day, and they should.
Yeah. No, this is a no-brainer. If you guys are sitting in your meetings, you're watching this stuff over there at ASU, and you get mad at me because I'm pick on you guys, it's not because I don't like you. It's just, come on, be better than that. Don't point out that, well, you forgot 2014 one time out of all these years. That's not smart. It's not. But you have a job to do. I get it. Nikhil should walk out. And for ASU, UCLA is not good, but Chip Kelly can get them to play better. This Saturday's game, enormous on so many levels. Rick Shantz is with us next. We're going to talk about Rising FC because the story, the number one, it's not Suns Memphis highlights at 10. Are you kidding me? It's not Cardinals of Kansas City this week. They're getting their heads kicked in. Are you kidding me? It's not Gold Gloves by Zach Greinke or Nick Ahmed. Are you kidding me? The Coyotes, yeah, that's tonight, and it's a great story. We'll talk with Jody. The story in Arizona sports is not Sam Bradford being released. It's not. That's what's going on with Rising FC playing in a championship game. That is this Thursday. We'll have the coach next. All right, let's turn our attention now to Rising. And there's so many stories around this team. And I shared earlier about me streaming games in front of like friends, family. Rick Shantz was there for all that. And now he's coaching and he's in the championship game. And I'm laughing because you and I have seen this thing grow from a thing into Rising FC Army the other night in Orange County. And if I had told you a year ago, Rick, that you'd be coaching in the championship game, would you have bought into any of this?
At the time, a year ago, it would have been pretty tough to believe. Brad, thanks for having me on, by the way.
And, sure.
It's been kind of a meteoric rise. But I'll tell you, when Patrice came in, you know, some of the things we started to change as far as training habits and taking care of the bodies. And then, of course, the off season with the players that we knew we were going to bring in. From the very beginning, this has been the goal. And it was just a matter of getting the players to all kind of buy into it. And, you know, then when Patrice left, it was kind of my job to continue and keep the team together and not lose that focus. And, you know, God willing, it's been able to happen.
Yeah, no question about it. Let's back up, though, Rick. Let's go to when did you first become an employee of the team?
Well, I came in, almost 2 years to the day.
Yeah.
Frank Yallop was the head coach. And ironically, I had called him because I just read, at that time, I had read an article online about Birchie, that his assistant, was taking a job in Queens Park Rangers. And I was really calling to congratulate him. And, you know, Frank's always been proud of his family tree of coaches and players and guys that he's worked with as they move on. And we've got to talking a little bit. We've known each other for years when he brought teams down to Tucson and for preseason in the MLS. And and he said to me, he said, would you be interested in the job? I thought he was joking.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my wife, I said, you know, I'm 42. We've got a good thing going in Tucson, but if we don't take this opportunity, another one may not come. And, you know, we have to weigh a lot of options and a lot of ideas and decide that we were ready for it and to go after it. And, you know, I have to thank my father-in-law for telling my wife that we'll be okay and we shouldn't worry and we have to chase our dreams. And, you know, a month after that, I packed up and moved to Phoenix, sold my gas-guzzling Jeep, and I bought a Honda Civic and drove back and forth for about 4 months.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And never look back, right?
That's been the plan. I mean, it's I've been telling the staff and front office that if you do things right, you know, and every situation you're involved in, you just think about what is the right thing to do. Sometimes you get burns, but more often than not, you'll be repaid. And I've kind of tried to be my motto my whole coaching career is just to do the right thing and have some integrity, and it's helped.
When did you believe in yourself to coach this job? Because here's why I ask that, because 30 years of covering coaches, they all say there comes a point where you're over the top and it's, I can do this at this level. And so I'm curious if you, from day one, when you took over earlier this season, it's, do I have to feel my way along on this, or were you just, this has been pretty seamless, Brad?
Well, last year, my first interim opportunity,
You sound like a substitute teacher. You sound like a substitute teacher, yeah. Rick.
I know. I told him that even if I become the full-time head coach, I may want to keep this title. You know, it seems kind of fitting. but, no, seriously, last year, when Frank chose to leave for family reasons, they'd asked me if I would fill in while they were searching for another coach. And I guess that mental process for me was, you know, I'll do my best and I'm just going to hold on until they hire a new coach. I wasn't sure who the new coach would be. Would I still be here? And I wasn't ready personally. And the reason I say that is my focus wasn't on what I wanted to do, how I wanted my team to play, you know, what was going to be my philosophy. It was more about, let's keep the ship going in the right direction. Let's not screw things up. And when they get a new coach, hopefully I'll still will be here. This year, I kind of knew that Patrice was getting offers. I didn't know what was going to happen. I expected it to be at the end of the season. It was a Sunday night. We had just gotten back from Sacramento. My wife was out of town with my daughter. So I had an evening to myself, and I was just sitting down. Nice, relaxing evening, and our general manager called me and said, Patrice is leaving, and the owners would like to know if you think you're ready to do this. Mm. And I switched, Brad. My mind switched right away. It was 100%. I sat up in bed, and I said, I'm ready. Let's go.
Yeah.
And that night, I stayed up probably till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I wrote down everything, the way I wanted to play, what I knew about the players, the things that Patrice had kind of taught me, how I was going to approach the first week. And then I prepared for the next day with Patrice and the owners and speaking to the players. And I still remember, you know, Mr. Reister, one of our owners, told me that when I first addressed the team, my shoulders were back, my head was high. And I said, it's okay, guys. And I think they all noticed and they said, yeah, he's ready. Let's give him a run. Let's give him a shot. And the players were great. You know, that first week I told them that it's not me. It's about them. It's their team. Give me a week. Let's win a couple of games and then we'll start to make some changes. But from that point forward, we've had our ups and downs. We brought in Rambo. The staff has been fantastic. I love working with these guys and I've gotten closer to Didier. I've spoken to him more and more and more on a daily basis, and it's made a big change.
Yeah, the question about Didier, I know you have practice here shortly, so I'll let you go here momentarily, but I'm curious a couple other things. In Didier's case, you take over, and he's pretty much gone for the summer for World Cup, and then he comes back. Where was a buy-in with you and Didier Drogba And was there any point where it was a tipping point to say, you know, get on board with this, or was he immediately into your corner?
He was, so while he was gone, I spoke to him at least probably two or three times a week. Told him what our plans were. We were getting results while he was gone. And I think that was an opportunity for myself and the staff to kind of build his trust. And his, and when he came back, it was hard. We had to kind of rebuild the team,
sure,
get him back into fitness. And I was able to spend a little more time with him. But I'll tell you, to be 100% honest, I think for myself, the biggest moment for Didier and I was when I subbed him off near the end of a game, and I had made a mistake because I thought he said, "I can't do this," because we were talking about which forward we were going to sub out. And he said, he'd actually said, "I can." And it was just a miscommunication on my part. And he was, I think he was pretty upset because he didn't know and he was surprised. And the next morning we spoke and had a meeting and sat for about 45 minutes to an hour. And it was one of the really, for me, an opportunity to see him and myself eye to eye and as more as, you know, mentor, friend, as opposed to owner, coach, player. It was different. It was, and I think from then on, it's just been spectacular. Now our conversations are more open. We're, he's giving me more of his feelings and his thoughts, and I'm able to express my feelings openly. There used to be a sense of being a little nervous, you know, you didn't know with Didier, and but now it's, you know, what a man, and I really am. I'm honored to say that I may be his last coach.
That is just an awesome story. Before I get you out of here, and I could talk to you for hours, but I'll save that after you win Thursday. Give the fans a thumbnail on Thursday and what you expect.
Well, Louisville's a fantastic team. And, you know, they've got some really good players that we're going to have to be worried about. And, you know, each step is more difficult. I'm sure that, you know, people have seen that we defend very well. We stay organized. We work extremely hard. But we're also, we're lethal on the counterattack. And you know, one of the analogies I told our boys before the last game was that we're like a cobra, you know, and you just leave us alone and you kind of, we'll lull you to sleep. But when we're ready to strike, it's immediate. And, I think you'll see some of that approach, but we'll mix it up a little bit because we know that Louisville, if you let them have too much of the ball, they'll find the spaces and they'll score goals. So it'll be awesome. I'm really excited. They moved the field to Lynn Stadium at University of Louisville, so it'll be a bit bigger, allow us to use some speed, and you know, but it'll challenge us with their ability to keep possession and move the ball.
This is great stuff there. What a story, the best story going in Arizona sports for sure has been that of Rising FC. Rick, appreciate the visit. Good luck Thursday. Appreciate the time.
Brad, thank you so much, and I really appreciate the support.
You got it. Not a problem, because I believe in what they are doing for sure. Rick Chancellor, head coach of what's going on with Rising FC. That story with Drogba is just so good. Oh, my gosh. I love that stuff. That is, look, it's all, I get it. The result that you want to see on the field is one thing. It's the backstory of how this has been built. And I use the term brick by brick. I put it up hashtag on Twitter and it applies. This is not easy what they've done over there. I mean, for Rick to go through this a couple times and to take a team all the way to the champ game on Thursday night, how, give me a better story than that. There's not one. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Susmat. And now it's time to head out to, I believe, is Jody in Glendale? Is she at the skate this morning? No, she's not. She's going to be there tonight. She'll be all done up doing her thing, getting ready for the Fox Sports Arizona broadcast of the Coyotes with this long win streak in November, which we never, ever see. I've been fortunate to see Jody Jackson, whose chuckle you just heard, twice in the last 5 days. I saw Jody at the Arizona Sports Hall of Fame, which was a terrific event. And then I saw Jody and her spouse at the Chrysalis event here in Scottsdale. So I've seen too much of you. That's why I have you by phone rather than
in
person.
It's cocktail dress season, apparently, and suit and tie season, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you told me Thursday you were probably going to wear the same dress, and you didn't. So, you know.
No, I was kidding. You know, you can't do that.
No.
At least not in a two-day span. If I can't come up with a different dress 2 nights later, right, I got a problem.
No, that's true. That's true.
No, it was fun and great events. One was obviously... you know, for a great cause, driving out domestic violence. And then the Hall of Fame event was really fun. I'm sure you enjoyed it like I did, covering sports for so long in the Valley, and you longer than I think. Just a lot. I mean, I saw Marte Jenkins, Michael Bankston. I'm seeing all these guys that were there for Pat Tillman, and then a lot of ASU people as well. So it was pretty cool.
You know, what's fun about those two nights is we weren't working. That was fun. So
I know, that was shocking.
We can just
I buried the lead there, Mark Grace and the Diamondbacks, you know. I mean, it was a really cool night. Steve Carlton was at Gracie's table. That was unexpected.
I felt like Mark's very self-deprecating in his humor about what happened legally, which I think is funny and great about Mark, that he owns whatever's happened in his world and that he took the time to acknowledge his two boys and had them stand up wearing coat and tie, which when we cover athletes and you get to know them, and for you, it's you've sat next to Mark for all these years, and you've seen him at his highest and at his lowest. So I'm sure for you there was even extra positive vibes, I guess, would be the right way to put it, the other night.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about him with being self-deprecating, even to probably a point where he doesn't really need to go that far, you know, because I think that, you know, he's very apologetic about some of those things.
Yes.
But he's also very proud of what he's done in his life. He's proud of his boys, for sure, Preston and Jackson. And the one thing about Mark Grayson, I think you know this too, but maybe, you know, you're right. I sit next to him either in an auxiliary booth every night during baseball, as does, you know, Todd Walsh when I'm not working. He's there probably more than I in that role, actually. But and then, you know, sometimes it's just in the media dining room. We're hanging out, right? And he's just a very kind, down-to-earth guy. He's very considerate of people. He's very caring of people. He goes out of his way. You know what I mean? Like, and not everybody that has reached, you know, kind of the sort of, and that's the weird thing about being around athletes and being around people, even if it's like, you know, a rock star or something. Some people act like they've earned, you know, maybe not to talk to someone or not to go up and try to, but, which isn't right in my opinion, but, a lot of people kind of play the middle and just sort of are there, but he's always like that, and it's really pretty cool. I don't know that many people that go out of their way to really engage with people and be at their very best with every single person that they come in contact with. So I'm very happy for him that he's in that Hall of Fame. I know there's another Hall of Fame, you know, but the Arizona Sports Hall of Fame is a good honor, a very nice honor for him.
Well, I have to say this about you, okay? So I consider you a friend, and you do your thing very well out in the field, and you do your job, but I've seen you at two separate events, and there's not an air of, I cannot approach Jody Jackson, right? And here's the thing, and I, in all sincerity, you are blinged out right now. You have a bling deal. And so people are constantly asking or putting on social about your bling deal. And which is fine, but I've never seen you have this look of like, ew, creeper, get away. You know what I mean by that? I mean, you've always been very approachable.
I think our world, I don't want to get too deep. I have two kids that are 10 and 12, but I think our world is trending in a really, really bad way where people sort of think they've earned something just because they do something, you know, that a lot of people think is special. I'm always very honored that people, I'm always very flattered that people think that I'm an important person. I'm just doing a job.
That's
you know,
it.
And if they want to give me jewelry to wear, which E.D. Marshall, and the thing about E.D. Marshall, again, why do I do it? Well, if you want to have me wear your diamonds, but they're really good people. They're a family-run business, and they're really awesome people, which makes it really easy to go in and out of there and talk with them, and it makes it pleasurable, you know? I mean, it's not... So anyway, but thanks, Brad. You're sweet. And
well, let me jump...
why we're friends.
Yeah, I'll jump in on you. So 3 weeks ago, I announced that I tested for doing financial services and life insurance with Sagicor. And Sagicor is a sponsor of the show, much like Edie Marshall is a sponsor. And this is what we do in the business. It's no different than me talking about vehicles that I did through the years. But in this case, the financial services, I believe in what they're doing, and everybody needs help in that. It's the same thing with diamonds. I just think it's sometimes it's just a little much for people. Let me get over to sports, though. And that is this. The Coyotes play tonight on your air. You are looking at a hockey team that is winning and winning over and over and over. Are you surprised?
Well, I mean, a little bit at the amount of consistency. I'll tell you where the surprise kind of went. I was like, had a kind of a new view on the team. When Tampa came in, and I know Tampa had played in Vegas, that's kind of a constant thing that we're going to see sometimes is, you know, maybe it's an advantage that teams come in from Vegas, they've played the night before. But I've also seen teams beat the Coyotes when they've done that, right? So they, sometimes they start slow, they weather the storm, and then they might sneak one out. Well, when Tampa came in, I mean, the Coyotes just squashed them.
Yeah.
And that kind of, because honestly, in the morning, that, you know, earlier in that day, I thought, well, I don't know how this is going to go, you know? I mean, I hope they keep it rolling, but this could be a loss right here. So, and they have just kept it going since that last game of the road trip. And you're right, they can go undefeated on this homestand, which is great because they're establishing a vibe out there at the arena that, you know, is going to make people want to come out there. And that's always been a very important thing that hasn't always worked. But, you know, it's working right now. So, and whether people come out, you know, right now, or it always seems to me like around the holidays, people jump on and, you know, but hopefully people are jumping on this because it's been a lot of fun. They're a pretty talented group. You know, I mean, they have their guys that can score are young guys. So a lot of people don't, you know, nationally aren't really recognizing, but Clayton Keller's a star. I mean, he can do special things, you know, Brendan Perlini, Christian Fisher. These guys are all guys that can score a lot of goals. And maybe this is the year that they're going to do that. And then defensively, they've solidified, you know, a lot of things, including the penalty kill. And then the goaltenders are playing well. Every team that comes in, Brad, I don't know what's going on in the NHL this year, and they just haven't faced some of the elite ones, but their goaltenders are struggling.
Really?
And, you know, the Flyers' goalies have struggled as well. So, you know, you face a Pecorine, yeah. I mean, he's going to be on, you know, most nights. But their goaltending has been better than most every team they've faced this year. And that's been great, too. So it's been a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. It's fun to go to the rink. The guys say that, and it's the same for the broadcasters, right? I mean,
sure.
It's definitely more fun when you're winning and when you can win six in a row tonight. It would be six in a row.
Well, and add to that, and the game, of course, is on Fox Sports Arizona tonight. Add to that, it's you have Philadelphia tonight, but then you have them again on Thursday, and then you have the Penguins. So I know that Tockett's been here a while and that stuff is kind of in the past, but I don't think it's ever really in the past for players for where they played. So to me, these next three games are interesting in that regard, too. How has he been for you as coach here, just big picture and what you've seen from day one to where he is now?
I think he's been great. I mean, I feel like last year was a little bit of a struggle with the buy-in. You know, you see a lot of struggle with people that come in. Anytime a new coach comes in and there's sort of, we're going to do this. And for the players that hadn't done that before, there's kind of that buy-in period. And we've seen it with everybody. Even when Bruce Arians came in with the Cardinals, it's not just like a guy like Steve Wilkes who's sort of still proving himself. And so that's natural. And but he stayed very steady through it all, and he stayed very patient. There were times last year where I thought in the post-game show when Todd Walsh goes one-on-one with Rick Tockett, I mean, there were some games where I thought, oh, my God, he's going to lose it, right? Like,
yeah.
This was just the things that would happen in a game, the mistakes or the you know, just different things that would happen. And you're thinking, oh my gosh, he must just go home and have like a stress ball or something. Like, how does he get this frustration out? But because he always remained calm, he never lost it. And, you know, and I think that, you know, his track record speaks for himself as a player. I think as a coach, he's a very good coach. I think that the things that he knows just that he's cultivated for himself in his mind. And then you add in different coaches he's been around and working with, you know, a team like the Penguins and some of those players. I think it's a great, I think it was a great hire. I think it's a really good fit. And I think, you know, we'll see where the season goes, but, I think, I mean, I know they're riding this five-game win streak right now, but right now I look at it and say this is a team that really is very capable of making the playoffs. Now, it's a long season, and you get down to the end. It's just like, I mean, it's not just like baseball because you have more teams that make it, but I mean, as far as a lot of things come down to the end of the season, and it, you can be edged out or you can eke in or whatever's going to happen, but I think they're capable of it for sure.
Before I get you out of here, we're talking with Jody Jackson, Fox Sports Arizona tonight. The Coyotes take on the Flyers, that game on FSAZ. Before you get out of here on the Diamondbacks, so Ahmed and Greinke get gold gloves. That's nice. It's an offseason where it's already been written that Patrick Corbin likely is headed to the Yankees. Who knows about A.J. Pollock? You were there all season long. We've not talked since the season ended. How busy of an offseason do you think yourself, not from what you read, what you hear, from your view, do you think this team is going to have?
Well, I mean, the big one is, are they going to trade Paul Goldschmidt, or are they going to do something drastic like that, or try to trade Zach Greinke? And, you know, only they know what's out there for those guys. But I just feel like it's something that's not going to happen, and that those guys will be back, and that they will try to add pieces, and that includes the start. I do believe, just money-wise, Corbin and A.J. Pollock will probably find other money, more money elsewhere. But those are two big holes to fill. And so, again, I think they'll try to do their best job of putting it together with other pieces. And I think they could be right in there. I mean, I think this is a narrative we've heard before, and it's not just what I've heard or what it's what I believe to be true.
Yeah.
And that's that you really can kind of be competitive while you're rebuilding. Now, it depends on what prospects are out there. I've always said this. I might have said this on your show. You know, the Padres are always trading for prospects, but what are those? We always talk about these guys being prospects. Very few of them have become anything really solid in the league. Some of them are still young, but I guess it just depends on what's out there, and you have to hit on those guys if you're trading a guy like Paul Goldschmidt. So I kind of expect them to maybe work things out with Goldie for a long-term deal. I guess, again, that depends. There's so many moving parts, Brad. This is why the GM job's hard, right?
Yeah.
Well, How much are they willing to give him?
I think in the Goldschmidt deal, it's one of those where I can easily make the argument you should get out now from Paul's deal. I can also make the argument that you should start out next season with him and Zach and see where you are on May 31st. I can make both those arguments pretty easily.
Yeah, and you can do that, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, the old deal in baseball, it's where are you at on Memorial Day, where are you at on the 4th of July, where are you at on Labor Day? So you can make those arguments. I just think that the fan base, I know that there's a deep love for Goldschmidt. I don't know if it's what it once was, Jody. When I'm out at things, I hear people say, yeah, you know, he's been here. It's probably time for him to go on. And players very seldom start and finish with the same team. And I don't think there'd be as much backlash on Goldschmidt being moved as there would have been 3-4 years ago. That's just my opinion.
Well, and I mean, I do agree that fans would be okay with it if you just see what you get and you explain what you're doing. And this is, again, we go back to, is he that lightning rod? He's never been the guy that is showy or flashy or talks a lot in the media, but I think a lot of baseball fans are smart enough to see what you get with Paul Goldschmidt each and every day, which is, even though he doesn't talk about it or show everyone or rant, you know, I mean, he's just so solid day in and day out. And so that's why when the coach is talking, it becomes sort of like white noise because they say it all the time, but it's still true. And it's no less true because he's so, you know, they talk about how valuable he is to put him in there every day and what he does. And that's all very real, but you're right. Some, you know, he's not a guy that a lot of people are emotionally attached to because he's not, you know, and he is out in the community, but he's not always, you know, talking in the media and going, I mean, of course it's the standard, I guess, the D-backs is Archie, right? And he's very beloved because of just the way that he's out there.
And that's never going to be Paul. I'll let you go off that.
No, but like I said, I think people are smart enough to know what Paul Goldschmidt is, what his value is, and he doesn't have to say anything.
Yeah. I'll let you go off that. Have a good, you're doing the show tonight, right?
Yeah, I'm doing the show. I'm doing
You're doing too much
Cardinals
stuff.
Today
you're doing
well.
All sorts of stuff.
Yeah, well, you know,
I shouldn't say too much.
But then,
Just get out there and get after it. It's what you do.
It's all good. See, thanks for having me, Brad.
You got it. Take care. It's Jody Jackson, as always. We will step aside here. I have a little bit more on ASU and U of A that I want to get to, because I just don't care about the Suns beating Memphis. I don't. Tyson Chandler being released. I mean, Sam Bradford being released. After this timeout, we'll get back into the college swing of things. Sports360AZ.com. All right, before we get out of here, so just so you know from a planning standpoint, Thursday night, Rising FC at Louisville City for the USL Championship. Game is on ESPN2, so people can see it. And I believe it's 6 p.m. now with the time change. 6 p.m. There's a watch party at Thirsty Lion in Tempe. I'm sure there's going to be other places that will have watch parties. It does not matter to me that it's minor league soccer, as some of you like to point out to me. And why am I going over the top on this? Well, I'm not. I'm all about a good story. And this is a story that I've covered for years and years and years now, because I believe soccer will work here. They are closer. They're as close as they've ever been to being added to Major League Soccer. And so they get to get through this Thursday night, and then we'll have some time to reflect on it. The other side is U of A is off this week. ASU has UCLA. It's a noon game. Eric, are you going to that one? Are you going to drop in on?
Yeah, I'm going to drop in.
You're going to drop in? You're going to work?
I'm going to work.
You're going to shoot it?
I'm going to be down the field.
How many?
Shooting video.
So it's senior day.
Okay.
So it will be Manny's last home game.
Yep.
It will be Nikhil's last home game.
Yep.
There's a few other players that will be sad to see them go.
Yeah, I think Rennell Wren is a senior. He's a really good player on the defensive side.
UCLA has some former high school kids in Phoenix. I'm not putting you on the spot because I know that we'll look at that for later this week.
I know they do. I just can't think who they are.
I'm the same as you. I'm just thinking out loud. And then there's Patrick Mahomes this week against the Cardinals. So I'm interested in Patrick Mahomes because when he was at Texas Tech, now ASU played against Patrick Mahomes.
They did.
And, you know, he's
not last year, but 2 years ago.
2 years ago. And I think Lee Steinberg is his agent.
Mm-hmm.
So he's fun to watch.
Oh, he's so good.
There's just no other way to put it.
And it's cool watching great quarterbacks. Like in the Sunday night game last night, it was incredible. I mean, you need to just appreciate the greatness, and I'm glad NBC didn't shy away from that, but not completely like overdo it.
I saw Goff against Breeze yesterday afternoon. And that was great.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of fun.
And the Cardinals can hope that Josh Rosen falls in line with Jared Goff. You know, the bumps in the road and the early struggles and the learning curve. And then in year two and three, it's maybe not like the elite status that Jared Goff is at, but progress.
You don't know. It's just progress.
A solid starter.
So on ASU's front, they have UCLA, a team that they should beat. But UCLA has gotten better. They went up to Cal and whacked Cal, beat the tar out of them. They've gotten better. And so, like in Herm's case, every game that I watch Herm Edwards coach, I don't know if you felt this way against Utah, I feel like he's two steps ahead of Kyle Whittingham.
He probably is. I mean, again, I only saw a little bit of the game.
But
so.
It's easy to have N'Keal Harry to throw him the ball or Eno Benjamin, and all of a sudden you look great. The offensive line dominated Utah. That was a physical mismatch, and that doesn't happen very often, or hasn't happened very often in ASU.
I wasn't surprised, though, that ASU won the game.
I wasn't either.
If they go to Oregon and win, that would surprise me. But you know what? ASU has been consistent all year long.
Let's say they go to Oregon and win. Let's say they win out.
That'd be fun.
If they win out, Eric, with the three close losses – if fans can't see that the program is in the right hands, then they're just not wanting to see.
Especially considering how many freshmen and inexperienced players have pretty much been, especially defensively, that have just been thrown in the fire and played really well this year.
Right. I mean, the easy narrative will be, well, they're losing their quarterback and they're losing N'Keal Harry. That's the easy narrative. But I think they've drilled down enough on some of these spots, and we'll talk more about it during the week. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board, as always. Eric Sorensen produces, senior executive vice president of nothing or everything, depending on the day. We have plenty of content over on our website that you can check out at sports360az.com. We have a television show as well. It is on Fox Sports Arizona. They are a terrific partner of ours. We have our show every week, the Brad Sussmat Football AZ Show. We are self-funded. That means these sponsors that you see, these commercials, they believe in what we do. And without them, we're not doing it. So we appreciate their support. Have yourself a great day.